the way that you talk to yourself can actually create chemical reactions inside of your body that can cause pain, that can soothe pain, all depending on the words that you say to yourself, right? And so just stepping back and being the observer and noticing what you're even saying to yourself. That's usually one of the biggest epiphanies of a lot of my clients is like, holy fuck, I didn't realize how mean I was to myself all the time. You know, and if you're mean to yourself all of the time, it creates a hostile environment in your body. And when we're already living in a state of fight or flight because of endometriosis and inflammation and things like that in our body, the things that we say to ourselves and the things that we say to other people and the things that we think matter, right? Because it can either be the creation of magic or hell.
Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the EndoBabe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endobabes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the EndoBabe podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in every single week. I so very much appreciate every single one of you. And I love, love, love when you reach out to me on Instagram and let me know that you're getting something out of the podcast, because that's why I'm here, to help support you and give you more tools in really learning to live well with endometriosis. So today I'm going to be sharing part 2 of the 30 lessons from 30 years. Part 1 aired on my birthday, July 12th. It was also the 100th episode, which is just fucking unbelievable. I can't believe that this is episode 101. Just nuts. It's been such a crazy year of growth and just so much fun being here. So thank you again for being here. But today we're going to be doing 30 lessons from 30 years, part 2. So this will be lesson 16 through lesson 30. I do want to note, because I know in the last episode, if you haven't listened to that one, go out and binge it, go back and listen, and then come back to this one and listen in for part 2. I do want to take note, right? Because I know in the first episode, I was talking about how just being in nature is healing for me, right? And my pain has been a lot less. I did have a really bad pain day recently, and it was one of our driving days. And so those are always kind of a little bit stressful, trying to get the trailer packed up. And we just had a lot of things on our plate that day. And I know just maybe overdoing it a little bit, not really listening to my body, which is something I'm sure we can all relate to at some point or another. But I just had a really bad left side pain day. And I don't know, I think it's a lesson in and itself, right? Because not every day is going to be amazing. You're not always going to have no pain, right? Even when you do get to really having your endometriosis well managed, right? There are still times that we're going to have pain. And that's why it's so important to learn how to live well, even when you do have endometriosis, to really not let that pain deconstruct your whole day and consume you, right? And I know it can be really hard, especially when you have weeks and months of unrelenting pain. But in those moments of pain, just getting curious about it or distracting yourself from it, doing all of the tools that you have available for you in those times, right? Whether it be a pain patch, a heat pad, like really just not being hard on yourself when you do have pain and not being hypercritical of everything that you've been doing, right? We're not perfect. Nobody in this world is perfect. And sometimes we are going to have pain, right? And so instead of what really helped me get through that day, because we were traveling, right, was number one, not being hypercritical of myself, right? Like, we're living on the road. We're literally living in a trailer. Sometimes I'm not eating the best, you know, like all that traveling makes my bowels not work perfectly, right? We're overdoing it. We're on hikes and bikes and
doing all sorts of things, you know, and resting when we need to rest. So, I mean, it's just life isn't ever going to be perfect. It's not all rainbows and butterflies, right? And so not being hard on myself when I did feel that pain come on and just kind of breathing through it. I have an episode coming out in a week or two about ways to cope in moments of extreme pain. So check that out. I think it's going to be, it's this month. It's coming out this month sometime. But 8 tips for coping in moments of extreme pain. So we can dive into that a little bit later. But I think one of the biggest things for me in that moment was not being hard on myself or judgmental of the things I did or didn't do. You know, because we have an illness that is unpredictable, right? And even if you do have things really well managed, sometimes it still flares, you know, and allowing myself to soften into it instead of fighting it and managing my distress, right? And noticing the pain without being judgmental of the pain, right? And slowing down all help me get through that. And I know you guys are really going to get a lot out of that episode coming out later this month. But I think that's going to be my number 16, right? Is that, and that's something that I've had to learn, is that we can't fight our pain. You can't control your circumstances. You can't change things that are happening to you. All you have in that moment is a choice to give yourself grace and soften into the pain and move forward, right? And I know I see this a lot of my clients and a lot of just people in the space, and I'm even guilty of it, right? Like wanting to get back to the life that you had before you had endometriosis, right? You want to run, you want to jump, you want to do all of the things, and those things are possible, right? Like that is all available to you, and just not all of the time, right? I mean, it can be all of the time for certain people. It's going to be different for everybody, depending on your severity of disease, like how much neuroplastic pain you have, right? There's so many things that go into it. But really learning to not be judgmental of myself or harsh on myself, right? In those moments of really extreme pain and just breathing through it, using all the tools I have in my toolbox and moving forward. Like, I think that is one of the most important lessons that I've learned in these last 30 years, right? Because again, we can't control our pain. And being super hyper vigilant about it and letting it cause you a ton of distress is, in my experience, only going to make it worse, right? And I think that's why the majority of the time, if I have, well, I have flare days, they're few and far between, right? I've had one really bad one in 2019. And then I have like left side pain every now and then. But this was like one of the worst ones since 2019. But even that wasn't a full body flare, right? It was just my left side. But I woke up the next morning feeling okay, right? I let myself rest. I let myself lean into it, or lean out, I guess I want to say, lean out and lie down without judgment or being too harsh on myself. You know, like mindset is such a huge part of life. And I think that is what I'm going to say is number 16, right? Number 17 of the lessons that I've learned in the last 30 years is that consistency matters. In life, it matters in everything that you do, right? If you want to move forward or reach new goals, you don't have to do a shit ton of things. You just have to do a few things over and over and over again, right? Most people don't do this, right? Because it takes discipline and integrity to stay consistent, right? But if you can apply consistent positive force to the shitty situations that are happening in your life. And by consistent positive force, I mean gratitude, love, appreciation, like all of the feel good things, right? If you can apply that consistent positive force to shitty situations, such as having endometriosis or literally anything, right? Like, your life is going to change fast, because what that does is it's going to help you see things in a new way, right? Because consistency matters, and you have a choice to apply positive force or negative force to any situation that happens, right? By negative force, I mean fear, hate, anger, right? And I guess positive and negative isn't really the best way to describe these things, right? Because it's not good or bad, right? It's just deciding which direction you would like your life to go in, if that makes sense, right? Because, and I guess I'll just give you an example, right? Because if you, and I'm going to use myself again, I feel like I talk about this all the time. So sorry if you've heard this a million times, but when I was first diagnosed, I was angry all the time, right? And so the situation that was forced upon me was endometriosis and pelvic pain and fatigue and all of these things, right? And instead of taking a step back and consistently applying positive forces in my life, I applied anger and hate and sadness. And again, these things aren't good and bad, but I know that I was angry all the time, and consistently being angry at my body, consistently being angry at doctors, just being angry at everything, right? And that was a choice to make, right? And I didn't realize it at the time. I felt like everything was happening to me, and that I had no choices. But we always have a choice. We always have a choice to react in a new way, to make a new decision, right? You can't control your first thoughts. You can control your second thoughts. And even if that first thought that you do have is something that's going to bring you into a negative spiral, right? If you can apply, stop, like nip it in the butt, right? I actually don't know what that saying is. Is it nip it in the butt or whatever? But stop it in its tracks. You can decide, hey, I do not want to choose that emotion, that feeling right now. Like, I can address these later. I can work through these. I can process these emotions. And then I can apply positive force, like gratitude and love, and look at my life in a new way, right? Because again, it's not feelings aren't bad. Emotions aren't bad. They're natural. You're a human. We have an array of or a spectrum of feelings, I guess. But it's not the emotion or the feeling, again, that are bad or good. It's the decisions and choices you make because of the beliefs that are created due to those feelings and emotions, right? Because if you're angry all of the time, right? And I know that this was my journey. If you're angry all of the time, I was angry all the time, angry at everybody, angry at my body. I had a fuck it mentality, right? Because I had a belief that my body was already broken. And so I treated it really poorly. Which only exacerbated my pain and those negative feelings and emotions, and berating my body all of the time created a hostile environment, which actually just made my pain worse, right? But if you can process those emotions and those feelings in a healthy way and help them move out of your body or move through your body, right? We can feel them, let them go, and then apply a positive force, and you're going to change and shift your life so fast. It only takes one new choice to change the trajectory of your life. Wow, I don't know why that was so hard to say, but so consistency matters. Your emotions and your feelings and your thoughts, all of it matters. Everything matters, right? If we are literally particles at the very core of our being, every little atom, and there are particles inside of little atoms inside of our body that create us as humans, right? All of that responds to vibrations, right? I'm going to get real hippy-dippy here for a sec. All of that responds to vibrations. So it depends if you are, what do you want to vibrate at? right? Because at a chemical level, at a cellular level, those, the way you talk to yourself, the force that you apply to your life, the beliefs you have about yourself, the actions that you take, all of those have vibrations and they affect your body in certain ways, right? And so where do you want to vibrate at? What consistent force do you want to apply to your life to change your trajectory, right? Because it's your choice. It's always your choice. And staying consistent with it is key, right? And this isn't just for life. It can be for fucking anything, your business, your relationships, right? You don't have to do a lot of things. You just have to do a few things all the time. And your life will change fast. So that was number 17, is consistency matters. And you have a choice to apply consistent positive or negative force to everything that happens in your life, right? And this goes into number 18, which is, it's not really what you do, it's who you are when you do it, right? It's who do you have to be to do the things you need to do to have the life you want to have, right? Because it's not necessarily what you do, it's who you are when you do it. And a great example of this is, I'm going to use myself as an example again, like when I was angry all the time, I didn't like the person that I was becoming. And so I took a step back and I started asking myself better questions. I was like, okay, well, if I don't like who I am right now, who the fuck do I even want to be? Right? Who did I have to be to do the things that I needed to do to have the life I wanted to have more good days than bad, right? What kind of woman was that? What kind of woman did I have to be? Who did I have to show up as for myself every single day? What choices did I have to make? What questions did I have to ask myself? Right? Because it's who you are that matters. But the thing about being a human is you can be anybody you want, right? You can change. If you don't like the trajectory of your life right now, if you don't like the way things are going, like, you can change. You can choose to be a completely different person, right? It's not what you do, it's who you are when you do it. So I would ask you, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, what the fuck? If you're not happy with the things that are happening in your life, who do you have to be to have the things that you want to happen in your life, right? Who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? What values do you have, right? What standards do you have? And how can you become that person? So who do you have to be to do the things you need to do to have the life you need to have, right? Your thoughts aren't enough to help you change and manifest things, right? Your emotions play a really important role in all of this, right? And so who do you have to be? Like, what kind of emotions does this person have? Like, what kind of vibration does this person live their life out? What are choices do they make because of all of that, right? You have to actually feel things in your body. The body doesn't listen. You have to show, not tell, right? And you can show the fastest and easiest way through your emotions, right? Through feelings in your body. And so really getting into that is how you're going to help change your life fast, right? And I guess this one kind of goes back with the consistent positive or negative force, and you can use your emotions to help feel all of it in your body, right? You're going to get there a lot faster instead of just telling you and telling you and telling you. So that was number 18. So number 19 is, the doctors are human too, right? And humans make mistakes, and holding on to that anger and resentment because somebody made a mistake or didn't have all the knowledge is only hurting you, right? So it was only hurting me in that time. And you get a lot farther when you learn how to lean into forgiveness for things that you can't change, right? And move forward. I think it's all really important in helping you move forward, right? Is that key of forgiveness. And it's all part of the grieving process, especially with chronic illness. You go through anger and sadness and all of the things. But just realizing, and I think working in healthcare help me with this the most, right, is that realizing that doctors are just human and they don't have all the answers and they don't know everything. And we put a lot of pressure right? It's their job. They get paid a lot of money to do that. But when the research that they were taught in school and all of the things that they learn, their CMEs, you know, all of it's fueled by big pharma. And so it's just going to perpetuate all that misinformation. And so we have to really be our own best advocates and leading with forgiveness for things that were done to you and maybe in your health journey, right? It's going to get you a lot farther than holding on to that resentment and that anger. Go back to the last couple numbers that I was just talking about. It all goes hand in hand, right? So that was number 19. All right. So we got the last 10, right? So number 20 is the beautiful thing about being a human is that we all have the will to choose, right? We can choose a new thought, belief, emotion. And like I was kind of talking about earlier, right? Like at our tiniest little parts of us, we are made up of like particles of the universe, right? And when we can actually become an observer of our reality, we can take a step back and observe the things that are happening to us, the thoughts that we are, the things we're saying to ourselves, the emotions, our beliefs, when we can become the observer of that, we can then choose to change if we don't like what we're creating in our reality. And if we don't like what we're creating, we get to make a new choice. That's a beautiful fucking thing about being a human, right? You can't control your first thought, but you can control the second thought, right? And so when you go into a thought spiral, a negative thought spiral, like being fucking mean to yourself, that first thought that was mean, you can't control that, right? It beats, our brain thinks just like our heart beats, you know, you can't control that. But if you choose to continue to go down that spiral from then on, it's a choice, right? And so something that I help my clients with and something that I do all of the time, a little more this year with all of the stress from last year and things like that, you know, I feel like my little inner negative Nancy comes out a lot more these days, not these days, but earlier this year, right? I kind of talked about that a little bit in the last episode, but just being like, hey, no, I don't like these thoughts. That's not true. You know, like just kind of stopping those thoughts in their place and then choosing a new direction, right? Like because emotions and feelings, the like chemical reaction in your body only lasts 90 seconds. But if something bad happened to you, it makes you angry and then you're angry all day, that anger is a choice.
Right. And as a human, we all have the choice. We have the will to choose. We have free will. It's like beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things about being a human. So if you don't like the reality that you are creating, you're consciously creating for yourself, unconsciously for a lot of people, right? You have the power to choose, right? So that's number 20. Number 21 is our words fucking matter. The things that you say to yourself matter, right? They have a huge impact on what we are creating in our reality, right? With the laws of the universe and quantum mechanics and quantum physics that I barely understand, but I kind of maybe grasp the idea of it, right? Is that the things that we do make an impact on our reality, on our outer and inner realities, right? And our thoughts are a huge part of that, right? And like I've been kind of talking about before, the way I did a whole episode on it, right? Like the way that you talk to yourself can actually create chemical reactions inside of your body that can cause pain, that can soothe pain, all depending on the words that you say to yourself, right? And so just stepping back and being the observer and noticing what you're even saying to yourself. That's usually one of the biggest epiphanies of a lot of my clients is like, holy fuck, I didn't realize how mean I was to myself all the time. You know, and if you are mean to yourself all of the time, it creates a hostile environment in your body. And when we're already living in a state of fight or flight because of endometriosis and inflammation and things like that in our body, the things that we say to ourselves and the things that we say to other people and the things that we think matter, right? Because it can either be the creation of magic or hell. But you can either go down magic or hell, right? With what you say to yourself. And so even just taking up a small practice of gratitude every single day, even if it's for the same fucking thing, is going to help shift your perspective on whatever it is you're being grateful for, right? Your life. But our words fucking matter. And this isn't like you can just think your pain away. It's, no, I'm creating a hostile environment inside of my body that is causing a chain reaction of stress and chemicals to be released that are actually going to increase my pain. So if I'm a little bit nicer to myself and I give myself a little more grace and I can
apply that positive force, I can help teach my body that it's safe and I can calm that stress reaction and reduce my pain, right? It's all about how our perspective and how we perceive things, and our words have a huge impact on that. Number 22 is, it doesn't matter how shitty of a situation or circumstance, there will always be people who can stay in alignment and grow because of it, right? Because again, it goes back to that we can't choose our circumstances. We can't control the shit that happens to us in our life, but we can control how we react to it. We can control the beliefs and the actions we take because of it. We can control and choose to stay in alignment, right? Especially with like your human design, your alignment indicators. I have a whole episode on that. Go back and listen to it if you don't know what I'm talking about. But there will always be people that can stay in alignment and grow because of a shitty situation, right? And I believe that it's because they are able to shift their reaction. They're able to shift their reality, shift their perspective, and not be totally consumed by the situation, right? And again, this a whole lot of things that go into this, including how traumatized you are, how activated your amygdala is, right? Like how much, that's our fear center, right? There are a lot of things that go into it, right? It's not just one thing that's going to make you feel better, right? And so, I mean, it takes a whole slew of different things to really help move you from that situation, but it starts with a choice, right? And it starts with being the observer of what's even happening and seeing if you even like that. And so that was number 22. Number 23 is that it's okay and it's good to actually stand up for yourself and advocate for your health, right? Like I was kind of talking about a little bit earlier, that a lot of doctors are humans and they don't know everything, especially in the case of endometriosis, where a lot of the research is being done right now, right? And so if you don't agree with something that a doctor says or does or any of that, right? Like you have the right to stand up for yourself and to ask for a referral, to ask to see a different doctor, to be like, something doesn't feel right here. I would like to see another health professional. You know, I need a referral to another GYN, right? Because people don't know everything, especially if you aren't seeing like an endo specialist, right? Which I know a lot of people aren't, because there aren't that many of them. There's a lot of misinformation out there, right? And so it's good to stand up for yourself and advocate for your health, and you can do it in a nice, respectable way. Some doctors won't respond in a nice, respectable way, but that doesn't matter, right? You're the nice, respectable person. You can ask for a referral, get a second, third, fourth opinion, get that diagnosis, and then start learning how to manage endometriosis in a way that works for you, right? You don't have to be diagnosed to start managing your endo, right? But it starts with you. Your health is your responsibility. And as much as we would like to put the responsibility in the hands of a doctor, it's still your body, right? And so they can recommend things for you. They can prescribe things for you. They can tell you the incorrect information, but it falls into your hands, right? It's still your body. It's always your choice. And that goes into my next one, is it's your body, it's your choice, right? So because if you don't want to take a medication, if you don't want to have surgery, if you don't want to do something, it's your body, your choice, right? Nobody can tell you what to do with your body ever. Like, you're a human who has free will. Like, it's your body, your choice, always, right? And so do your research. Your health is your responsibility. Do your research. There's so much information out, a lot of misinformation out there, but if you're listening to this podcast, you're in a good place. But there are so many different things that might be pressured onto you. I think that's how you say that, right? Like, they might pressure you into doing something, saying it's your only choice. Your only option is this. It's not going to change your plan of care if you don't have the surgery. Or if you have the surgery and you can have endometriosis, it's not going to change your plan of care. Like, if you want the surgery, you should have excision surgery from a trained excision specialist, right? But again, it's all your body, your choice. You don't have to take a medication. You don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, right? And again, if you're here, like, you're in a good, safe place. But just know it's always your body, your choice, right? And that goes with everything, right? Not just like medications and surgery. Like, there's so many different things that go into managing endometriosis, from mindset to mindfulness to surgery to medication. For some people, medication is not going to help manage the disease at all, but it can help you manage symptoms of the disease. But in my opinion, if you want the symptoms managed, I would do it naturally, right? not with a medication that's going to mask what the underlying cause is, right? And you can do this with like a functional medicine doctor. You can do things yourself with diet. Diet is a huge part of managing endometriosis. But again, everything is your fucking choice. It's your body. You have final say over everything that happens to it, over the management, pain management that you use, over all of it. And so don't ever fucking forget that. Like, it's your body, your choice. Number 25 is, if you love somebody, tell them. Sorry, these are kind of all over the place. But if you love somebody, actually tell them. Show your feelings. It's one of people's like biggest regrets at the end of their life is not speaking their truth, not spending time with people that they love the most. You know, like not telling people that you love them enough, right? Like, if you love somebody, tell them. It's not shameful to share your emotions and your feelings. And we need more love and kindness in this world anyway, right? So if you love somebody, tell them, show your feelings, be big about it. Don't make yourself small just to please other people, right? It depends on who you surround yourself with. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people who make you feel like you need to be smaller and who shame you for sharing your feelings, like I would, in my experience, is find new people, right? Because there are people out there that'll gas you up. And by that, I mean like praise you and love on you too. You know, so like if you love somebody, tell them, show your feelings, let it all out. It doesn't matter if it's reciprocated or not, right? You don't have to make yourself small or hide parts of yourself to please other people. If other people don't like it, oh well, you can find new people. And I know that sounds harsh, but there's billions of people on this planet, and there are people that will love you as much as you love them. Number 26 is, you can't please everybody, and not everybody is going to like you, and that's okay. And this was one of the biggest lessons that I had to learn, because I am a people pleaser, but not everybody's going to like you, and that is okay. And so really working on loving yourself first, because that's really what matters, right? You can't please everybody, but you can please yourself, and you can listen to your own truth, and you can make choices that you love because you love them, right? But you can't please everybody, and that's okay. And I know there's like some quote that says something along the lines of, you can't love other people until you love yourself. And I think that is a lie. I think you can love other people so much. You can give your all to some people and just fucking despise yourself, right? But I think what loving other people and loving yourself first does is it helps you deepen your love for other people, right? Even if they don't like you, right? It helps you maybe not deepen your love, but it helps you broaden your compassion, I think is what I want to say, right? Because it helps you see that people that are mean to you, people that don't like you for whatever reason, that's them. That's on them. Like, you can only control you. And you can love other people so much and still despise yourself. But when you work on loving yourself first, and loving yourself too, I should say, because it doesn't have to come first. When you can work on loving yourself too, it just deepens your love horizons. I don't know what I'm trying to say there, but maybe you get it. It just helps you cultivate deeper love for other people. And that includes understanding people's flaws, understanding when they're in pain and so they're projecting hate, right? I think that's what it helps with. Number 27 is that mindset can help you with fucking anything, anything. Right? They say, like, especially with like exercise, it's 90% a mental game or something like that. I don't know the actual statistics. Sorry, guys. But it can literally help you with anything. The limits that you place on yourself are the only thing stopping you from doing what you want. And there's a lot of mindset that goes into living with a chronic illness, right? You can still do the things you want to do. When you do have pain, you just might have to adjust things a little bit. And that is just a mindset shift, right? It's a mindset shift in the dietary changes you need. It's a mindset shift with traveling. It's a mindset shift with everything, right? But you can literally do anything you want with a mindset shift. I know one of my clients was asking the other day, she was like, okay, well, I love gluten. How do I, and I know that it causes me pain and it does not do well in my body, but I love bread. I'm like, okay, well, it's honestly just a mindset shift, right? Because it's not, oh, I wish I could have the bread, but I have to have gluten because stupid endometriosis, or I can't have gluten because stupid endometriosis, right? It's, I'm choosing not to have this because I know it's going to make me sick. what else can I add in to my diet to replace that item to help me feel satisfied, right? It's just a simple mindset shift. It's all a mindset shift and how you talk to yourself and all of it. But you can do anything. It can help you with anything. And that's number 27. Number 28 is pain is difficult. It's not deadly. And this is more pertaining to persistent chronic pain, right? Because when you can shift your perspective on your pain and not let it consume you, your whole life changes, right? We can't control our pain, but we can control how we see our pain. We can control how hard we are on ourselves. We can control how soft we are with ourselves, right? Pain, persistent chronic pain is difficult. It's not deadly. A lot of those pain signals are from abnormal pain pathways created in our brain that says there's pain there when there's not actually something there causing pain, right? And this is especially true for people that have had excision surgery, right? And so pain is difficult. It's not deadly. And when we can change how we see our pain, we can let it go a little bit, lean out a little bit, and not let it control our whole life. All right, number 29 is happiness matters above all fucking else, right? If you aren't happy, don't be scared to fucking change things. Get curious about why you aren't happy, right? Reflect back on what in my life am I doing right now? Like, why am I not happy? And then figure out what you can do to be happy. What is it going to take for you to be happy? Do you need a different job? Do you need to live in a different state? Do you need a dog? Like, happiness is really all that matters above all else. And I know when I'm going to be sitting on my front porch when I'm 90 with Eli when he's 100, I'm going to look back and be glad that we prioritized happiness and joy and play over a lot of other things in our life. And last but not least is 30, which is the relationship that you have with yourself is the most fucking important. The relationship you have with you is more important than any other relationship, right? And so when you can work on your relationship with yourself, how you talk to yourself, how you love on yourself, you should gas yourself up as much as you gas everybody else up, right? You have to be with you for your whole life, right? The relationship you have with you is the most important. So how you talk to yourself matters. It matters on a cellular level. It affects your pain. It affects your mood. It affects your emotions, all of it, right? And when you can work on that relationship every day through journaling practices and applying a positive, consistent force like I've been talking about in the other ones, right? Your relationship and how you view yourself is going to change rapidly, all for the better. But I love you all. Thank you for tuning in to part two of the 30 lessons that I learned in 30 fucking years. I can't believe I'm 30, but here we go. I'm excited to see what the next 30 years holds for me. But I'll catch you on the next episode of the Endo Babe podcast.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review because that just helps other wonderful endo babes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the Endo Babe podcast.